You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, so the second coming of Jesus is a significant theological concept in Christianity, representing the belief that Jesus Christ will return to earth in the future. It can even be today. So the idea behind the second coming of Christ is that Jesus Christ will return to the world at a future date to complete his work of redemption and bring about the judgment day, including the ultimate defeat of Satan and the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. So let's start off with the biblical prophecies regarding the second coming. And we are joined on the line by Pastor Munga, who's going to be helping us understand and unpack. Guti, is he really coming back? Fundis, good morning. How are you?
I'm extremely fine. Actually, super excited. More than you are excited, I think.
Oh, okay. It means our levels are on the same level.
Happy New Year, Mfundisi.
I'm happy that you are still us and you are excited as the same way I am. I think you're so excited because you're speaking about the second coming of Jesus.
Oh, yes. Can't wait.
Yes, Mfundisi. So before we start, Pastor, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray so that the Holy Spirit may guide us?
Thank you. Shall we pray? Our Lord and our Savior, we are thankful that we are coming as a family to listen to you all as you speak to our hearts in a very special way. May glory and honor be unto your name as you speak in us and as you speak through us. Prepare our lives to receive you when you come the second time. Bless our listeners, bless also our moderator, Sister Zanele, and all those who listen even after this conversation. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. So, Mfundisi, you know, as I was introducing, I wanted to say something. There was a time where Dr. Papu was preaching. He was like, if you date a person and they don't believe in the second coming of Jesus, dump that person. Or if you want to start the relationship... ask your person, do you believe in the second coming? If they say no, dump them. So that's why I was like, the second coming, it is.
And actually, he used the polite words of dumping me. I could say, throw away.
It's very critical, this thing, Vundisam. You must check if the people believe in it. But Pastor, you know, as we're looking at this second coming, I know in the introduction I did say that, you know, it's that Jesus is going to come back soon, you know. But if someone is listening, they're like, okay, can we get the pastor to define what the second coming of Jesus is? Like, explain it. What is it?
The second coming of Christ, in the first place, before you talk about the second coming of Christ, we must also talk about briefly the first time of Christ, the first coming of Christ.
Okay.
From Eden, when our parents sinned, they were promised that a Savior would come. And they waited and waited. Some even gave up hope. But he came the first time. There are certain times in the past when I used to think, oh, this Christ will come. But when I look at the Bible, that the first time was promised that he was going to come.
Okay.
Yes, time passed, but he came. So that means even the second time, it is sure and it is certain he will come. Whether I like it or I don't like, he is going to come.
Okay. All right. So he's going to come. Yes. So looking at the Bible, Mfundiswami, which is our foundation, which is where we read and we get everything that we need there. Looking at the Old Testament, you know, do we have prophecies from the Old Testament relating to the second coming of Jesus?
We do.
Okay.
We have plenty. Let me just cite, I think, two.
Yes.
We have got Daniel chapter 2, which talks about those kingdoms. But let me just pick one verse, which is Daniel chapter 2, verse 44. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And when you look at history, even if you close the Bible, did these kingdoms come? The answer is yes. From the time this prophecy was given, that was during the time of Babylon. After Babylon, Medo-Persia came. After Medo-Persia, Greece came. After Greece, Rome came. Then it was divided Europe where we are now. And the Bible says, after this, even when you look at that image, that stone that is talked about in Daniel chapter 2, that he crushed that image, then he filled the whole earth. This is almost like a summary now that we are reading in verse 44.
Mm-hmm.
What follows now is the second coming. So you can even get a pen, you can write F fulfilled, Babylon fulfilled, Medo Persia, Greece fulfilled, Rome fulfilled, Europe where we are now, the divided kingdom fulfilled. What next? The second coming of Christ.
Mm.
As if that is not enough, there is that book before Revelation called Jude.
Mm-hmm.
It has got only one chapter.
Mm.
So we have got two verses there, 14 and 15.
Mm.
And it says, and Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them all, the ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against.
Mm.
We cannot cite precisely where it is in the Old Testament. But here's Jude, who is saying, Enoch prophesied about the second coming of Christ.
Mm.
The Lord is coming with 10,000s of his saints. Who are these saints? We are talking about the angels that he's coming with, that we find also in the other chapters of in the New Testament.
Yeah.
So the Old Testament talked about the second coming, that Jesus will come, and he will come, and he must come, and he should come.
And we've been waiting. Okay, Angikwala, we're not there today, Mpundi, so I'm about us waiting for him. So, because we've been...
For the first time, just to show that I'm excited, I'm having this interview while I was standing.
Yeah, okay.
I can't just sit. No, I can't.
Me, I pray for you, Mpundi, that you don't stand forever. You don't. Because he's big.
We study for 1 hour for this. Yo! So 80 minutes is just. That is excitement in any case.
Yes. So, Mpundisi, you know, you've spoken about, you know, the Old Testament. We can see that, yes, it was prophesied that he's going to come again. And then now we do know, did Jesus himself speak about his own second coming? And how do we interpret those teachings as Christians? Because, hey, we are very critical. These days, more especially, you know, when we're reading the book, what was he saying here? It's not make sure, you know. So did he himself teach about his second coming? And how do we interpret that as Christians?
Exactly. When you look at Matthew chapter 24, He labored the whole of that chapter is just talking about the signs, what will happen. No, when he talked about when these people, the disciples, were excited to show him Jerusalem, how it was well built, and he said, No, there's no stone that will remain on top of it. And they were so shocked.
Mm.
What is that event that can make that city, that beautiful temple that took for 6 years to build, to crumble like that? And that's when he starts now talking about the events or the signs that lead to his second coming.
Mm.
And even finally in chapter 24, 14 says, when all these things have been fulfilled, then the coming.
Mm.
And that is his coming.
Mm.
So much as it is in the Old Testament, but also even in the New Testament, Jesus spoke about his second coming.
Mm-hmm. There is a comment/question that is here that came through on our WhatsApp line. I'm just going to take it. It says,
yes,
the prophecy of second coming of the prophecy of the second coming reminds me of how in the first coming, most people who were well learned in the scriptures found it hard to believe it is indeed him who has come. I wonder if we, the Adventist Church, the remnant, all Christians of this day, will be like the scribes and the believers of the first coming. Yo?
No, that is true, and it's a solemn statement. Each time I read the Matthew chapter 2, about those the wise men who came from the east, and then they come to this land, people who could quote prophets, not the way we read the Bible, let me read, not just from the head.
Mm.
He was going to be born in this place, in Bethlehem, Judah, in this way, and in that. They had all the knowledge at their fingertips, but they missed the event.
Mm.
What I can merely say is that spiritual things are spiritually discerned.
Yes, yes.
To know the truth and to believe this truth and to live this truth are very different things.
Mm.
There are people, there are smokers who are very good theologians, who know Greek, who know Hebrew. They can explain everything, but they don't believe in what they say.
Mm.
So it is true that as Adventists, we can claim, yes, where we know everything. We know prophets, we can speak. Actually, when you talk about that Daniel chapter, the whole book of Daniel, mm. I have been studying from 1979.
Mm.
So if someone wakes me up at night, I don't need notes.
Yes,
that is not enough.
Yes.
But that is not enough.
Yes.
It's not enough.
Mm.
So I need the Holy Spirit to be yeah. with me, because an event, we can miss an event
mm.
because with the knowledge at hand. So having information, having knowledge is not enough.
Mm.
We need the presence of the Lord through the Holy Spirit.
Mm. Mfundisi, looking at, you know, you've mentioned there that you've been studying the book of Daniel, and that is where we start off with the prophecies there, right? Do we find anywhere, Mfundisi, where it has been prophesied when he is exactly coming back, specifically in the Bible? If yes, where is that? If not, why not? Why didn't Jesus say, born in the year 2050? At 12 o'clock, after Zanella is done with her show, the trumpets will sound, you know.
And
I will come. You know, why wasn't it prophesied if it was not prophesied?
So that you don't even go for work on that day, you just wait for
I'm ready, Mfundisi. I'm ready in my conservative outfit.
Okay. In the first place, the first coming of Christ was specified,
mm.
like we find in Daniel chapter 9. You can even calculate it. Daniel mm. chapter 9, there, even the events, when this event has come, even counting that from this to this, those AD 27, AD 31, all those things, they are there.
Mm.
But when it comes to the second coming, Jesus himself spoke in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36,
mm-hmm.
but of that day and the hour knoweth no man, no. Not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Why and why not, my sister? We can only speculate.
Mm-hmm.
We can only speculate, because the Bible does not tell us anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We can say, no, if people are told, maybe they'll be relaxed. If people are told, they'll be this and that. We can only speculate. But Jesus himself mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
And even the disciples, he did tell why it was not revealed. All these other things, the first coming, his baptism, his death, everything, his ascension, it can be calculated.
Mm.
But when it comes to his second coming, says no one knows
mm.
apart from his Father.
Yeah.
So we would rather go by that. He is coming and he's coming.
Mm. And that one, food is some, you know, I always argue with people. I'm like, guys, even Jesus himself said he doesn't know. So can we just stop? You know, even now, food is me and you. You are standing there. Me, the moment I close the phone, he might come. We don't know.
I didn't want to say that part that you mentioned.
We might sleep, and tomorrow, drink gone. We, you know, it's come. It's come. Yeah, it's a lot. But Mfundisi, you know, what does it mean for believers today to be waiting for Christ's return? Because, as I've said in the beginning, we have been waiting and we are still going to wait. You know, what does it mean for us to wait for his return?
For us to wait for the second coming of Christ means a lot. In the first place, by us not being told the exact date, it means that you and I are supposed to be ready each mm. and every moment,
mm.
during the day and during the night. When we know, what does it mean for believers today waiting for the return? One,
mm.
we are supposed to live our lives expectantly and mm. prepare. He says that he's coming with a reward. In Genesis, in Revelation 22, there verse 12, he says he's coming with a reward.
Mm.
So if he is coming with a reward, that means there should be a selection.
Mm.
People should be selected, and that selection should be done before he comes.
Mm.
So indirectly, I'm saying that we are living in the judgment hour.
Mm.
We are living in the judgment hour. Your name can be called now. My name can be called now.
Hey.
So we are during that solemn moment, that serious moment, under examination.
Mm.
When that resurrection is done, when he will say, well, you remember that verse there, those verses there, those who are, this let them remain in this, those who are, let them remain in this, meaning nothing more can be done. So we need to live lives of expectance and also being prepared. If my sister Zanere, I say that I'll be coming to South Africa and I'll be staying with you, there are a lot of things that you will change in your home.
Yes.
Because you are expecting me.
Yes.
You will change a lot of things. And even in the, you have to talk to the children and everyone around, please, their visitors who are coming, you know, this thing of fighting and everything, making the dates, the hope. That kind of, there's a lot that you are going to, if I say I'm just coming for a 30 minutes visit, there's a lot that you will do. But are we doing that ourselves who are waiting for the second coming of Christ? Or is just by word of mouth that Christ is coming? Meanwhile, you've got a grudge against someone. There's something that you have not resolved with someone. No. We need to put things in order. I need to put my house in order. You need to put your house in order. Our listeners are supposed to put our, we are supposed to put our houses in order. And this is an event. This is something that is personal. The judgment hour, my wife is independent from that. I can't say no because of my wife, because of someone can say no because of my husband, because of my neighbor. No, it's you and Jesus Christ, the two of you.
Indeed.
So in that judgment, which is going on now, we need to make sure that our names are there. How do we have that? By repenting.
Yes.
Accepting Jesus Christ in our hearts. Heaven must come in your heart before you go to heaven. But that is the challenge, to have heaven in your heart before you go there. Because we can't go there. If we go without heaven in our hearts, then that place is going to be strange to us.
Yes.
So we need to leave heaven now. Like we find there in Ephesians 5, where it says, Wherefore, he said, awake out of sleep and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Let me just quickly read. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Then we have got this punchline. And be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit.
Hey.
Be filled with the Spirit. It doesn't say fill yourself with the Spirit. No, be filled. Meaning avail yourself to be filled with the Spirit. Now, that is very critical for us. We have to redeem the time. All the events in the world are just saying one thing.
Yes.
The second coming of Christ is near.
Yes.
We can pretend things are all right, global warming and everything, that we are doing this to plant trees here and there, which is good. But all the events are telling us one thing.
Mpundisi, one of our listeners here affirming what we are speaking about, saying that, well, Jesus himself did say that this time he wants us to always be ready, like the 10 virgins, well, the 5 virgins, the 10 virgins, you know, saying that be ready because you do not know, you do not know, you know. So Mpundisi, do we have different interpretations regarding the events of the second coming, such as, you know, the rapture, the tribulation, and if we do, what are those, you know, and which ones are widely accepted by Christians? Like we mentioned earlier, that if your person does not believe in the second coming, okay, asas, but you know,
throw that person away.
You know, other interpretations that are there that, you know, we need to that we are accepting as Christians.
There are a lot. The challenge that we have today, or the exciting thing, that everyone is a theologian. Google is a theologian. So we have got answers, we have got sermons, we have got a lot. For example, we have talked about the secret rapture. Some people believe, no, the secret rapture where you're just moving someone, all of a sudden the friend disappears. Then that means that person has been taken to heaven or tribulation. Some people say, no, actually what God will do, he will just come, renovate this earth. The beauty part of those nice places in Cape Town, Johannesburg, Lusaka, they will remain so that the saint can occupy those. Some are saying the second coming of Christ is spiritual. It will not be something that we can really see, but it will just be spiritual. You just have to believe that he has come, and then you move on. But the Bible is very clear. Like when you look at in Acts chapter 1, verse 11, say this same Jesus, the way you have seen him going up is the way you're going to see him coming. He talks about lightning. It's an event that is going to be literal. It's an event that is going to be real. It's not symbolic. It's not a prophecy. The same way he came the first time physically. Second time he is coming. But this time he's not coming. He's not coming to save sinners. He's doing that salvation now, but he's coming to get people who are ready. So his second coming is literal. It's an event that we shall see. There's no journalist. There's no one who will cover it on social media to post it to people that Christ has come. No. Everyone will see. No Facebook to announce the second coming of Christ. No.
There will be Instagram. TikTok. Vundiza, let me tell you something. So last week I was asking my listeners, you know, there's a time where I just say things that are on my mind. And I was like, Bazaigs, when the trumpets call, you know, when the trumpets, we are sitting, me and Yumpundiza, now we are talking. And then we hear, who are you going? Are you going? Or you are behind? And as you're saying, people will be Facebooking it in Fundis because they will be left behind. You know, they're like, hey, we saw something in the clouds. Can't hi. That was Jesus. We must buy data.
The Bible does not give that picture. All the prophets who talked about the second coming, they talked about it with fear. It was fear for death. You are talking about that dragon, the dragon's back mountain falling in pieces. You are talking about those apps, those mountains, everything shaking out of place. To the extent that those people who are not ready to see, those people who are not ready for his coming, just to see the flash, they all die. So it doesn't seem to be the way we portray it. One friend said that if Jesus comes, just like a president can come to a city, if I want, I can go and see him. If I don't want, I can be in my home. So Jesus, let him come and get you the people you want. Let you leave us, continue with life. No. Everything will come to a standstill. Rivers will stop flowing. No radio station, no TV station. Everything come to a standstill.
Will be off.
If you are waiting for a change at your shop, the shopkeeper has got the change in your hand and you are also stretching your hand. Everything has come to a stop. The King of Kings has come.
Bona. When this, as we wrap up today's session, you know, I think I get why you're excited. Nami, I'm now standing up for this, by the way. So, as we wrap it up for this one, you know, how does the idea of the second coming, you know, shape Christian beliefs about the future of the world? I, for one, every time I think about the second coming, I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen in the world, because I'm like, me, even tomorrow might happen. So, Nje, there are those who just live freely, saying at any time. But there are those that are like, no, man, we have to do X, Y, Z, the Great Commission. He's not coming now, relax. So how does that shape our view of the future?
Thank you so much. A friend of mine, when he found me in the church, just before I became a pastor, he was so shocked. He said, each time I see you in town, I take you to be Pentecost. I say, why? So you are excited about this Christ. I said, no. I have got no other way. How the idea of the second coming shape Christian beliefs? One, excitement. I've even written this, excitement.
Yeah.
Why am I saying the excitement? The best is yet to come. Today we are in the dust. Tomorrow we are in glory. We are in the mansions. Hear this in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Today, yes, we can talk about having a good house there. I know even where you are staying, even where I'm staying, you are not satisfied to be there. And even if we took you where the president of South Africa stays, you will not be satisfied there. Why? The best is yet to come. So that should fill your mind. The challenge that I should mention, Sister Zanel, and to our listeners, when you got baptized, if we got that experience that you had when you came out of the water and Jesus had come that time, I think you could have arrived in heaven before he arrived there. The excitement that was there.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, what is supposed to be the situation is that we are supposed to be more and more excited. Why? Because we are coming nearer than it was before. So as we become old, we are supposed to have more hope and more faith. But in most cases, it's the other way around. As we grow in Christianity, as we know, as we have got a lot of experiences of how the Lord has saved us, how the Lord has blessed us, that's when we relax as Christians.
Yeah.
But I think it should be the opposite. We should be more excited each and every time. So each day that comes, my sister, I say, well, he has not come today. He will come tomorrow. And we are closing that day. If he has not come today, he'll come tomorrow. He'll come the other day. And look at Revelation chapter 21. For sure, we are wrapping up as you
said. Yes.
I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. There was no more sea. I don't like water, apart from the water for drinking. Not swimming, those oceans you have around you there. No. Don't take me there, even if I come to South Africa. And Jordan says, there's no more sea there.
Yep.
Because that was a moment, or that is something that was frightening those days, even in our day. Talk about the new Jerusalem that John talks about there. So when we talk about the future, we are talking about us, what you have passed through here on this earth, the suffering that we have passed through. Like some people are, we talk about it, like in Africa, we passed through the slave trade, economic hardships. Everything is just hard. But there's something that is better that we are waiting for. So I look at the future with excitement. I look at the future with hope. So even when I'm witnessing, when we are having a campaign, whether a crusade, evangelist campaign, to me is the celebration of the power of Jesus Christ, who is coming soon. And he's coming for me. He's coming for those who are ready for him.
Pundis, beautiful start to us, the second coming and the prophecies there that you're finding in the Bible. And yes, I do say sometimes, Nami, you know, Mpundis, when life is really showing us Daphne, sometimes I'm like, but is he really coming back? I'm like, but then now I'm like, hi, he is coming back, you know. So even when we ask us those questions sometimes, we just have to understand that, Oxalai, at the end of it all, he is coming back. The Bible has spoken, our prophets have spoken, and we believe in that. So, Pastor Munga, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask that. Can you please pray so that as we wrap up this conversation, as we go home, we have it in us that he is coming back.
Thank you. Shall we pray? Our Lord and our Savior, we are so thankful that you have excited us with a glory that is coming, the glory of your second coming. Our Redeemer and our Savior, may this excitement, may this hope, our blessed hope, grow every day. May the flames burn. May they go with excitement. Shall we tell our neighbors of your second coming? And as we tell them to prepare, indirectly, you are also preparing us. Bless your maid servant, my sister Zanere, and her family, and all those who are dear to our hearts. Bless our listeners. Bless the management of Adventist World Radio. And Lord Jesus, bless each and every person who will listen to this conversation. May they hear you speak to them and not hear our host voices. Above all, thank you for the second coming, which is sure, which is certain. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mpundisi, thank you so much. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You're most welcome.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Bona, he is coming back. You know, I love Pastor Munga's energy. Me and